better in his previous life.
And it's like, oh, I got to do it now, you know, and I had to pull back.
I'm here.
It's good to hear from you.
Good to be back.
I assume everything went well.
Yes, it did. Thank you. Very well. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. These six letters, through their gematria of 506, connect us to the phrase Ahavatinam, which means unconditional love, or love for no reason. And the same gematria connects us to a name of God, Vav Shin Resh, and that name connects us to memories, but not memories in the traditional sense, memories in being able to see our patterns in our lives, so that we can change the mistakes we've made in the past and stop redoing them as part of the pattern, changing the pattern. Kabel rinat amcha sagbeinu taharenu no ra ufreshayin sintet nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. Tear up Satan. Eliminate the negativity from your life. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and it's a hint, a reminder to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry point for the negative system. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamreim nun gimel dalet yud kashin. Nun gimel dalet, through its gematria 57, connects us to the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzadi tav gimel. The letter Kaf created the planet we call the sun. The Hebrew names, there are two of them. The external name is Choten, meaning hot. The internal name is Shemesh, meaning servant. And we understand from the Leo people, who are affected most by this aspect of this planet of the sun, when they're doing their spiritual work, they will see what's good for everyone, and they will tell the people what's good for them to do and how to help and how to assist and how to share. And the people will listen because they're coming from the frame of Shemesh, from the frame of being a servant. But when they're not doing their spiritual work, they're going to be coming from the frame of Choten, hot. And this message that they bring to people will burn people up and get them angry, get them upset, and cause the Leo person to be ostracized. Chasin kadosh b'rov tuvcha na'el adatach et kufbet tet nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid ge'eh Lamcha b'nei zokre kidushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Kalumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf. Gematria is 400. 400 connects us to completion and also to perfection. The last four letters have the gematria the same as the first verse, 506. And they connect us to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, love for no reason. And also to the name of God. It causes us to be able to see the patterns in our past, in our memories, so that we don't continue to make those mistakes that have created those patterns. And it's by injecting unconditional love and changing those patterns that we reach completion and we reach perfection. And the eighth verse, the last verse, we say in a whisper. But for the purposes of teaching, I will say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. I'm now going to read a verse from the Zohar. Reading from the section of Truma, verse 546. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu koneh aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konehu. Va'ani tefilati lecha Adonai ahakara zad Yehuda va'ani da David malka atar deyikre ke'ula tefilati da tefila v'haka yihu samika li'ula Yihu chad chad yihu samich geula li tefila kidein yihu et ratzon uf haki kalala in yihu kachada et chad ratzon chad it kalilu da vada v'havo chad. David Malka Ba'al Yachada Vahaykara Yehuda Chada. But as for me, let my prayer be to you, Hashem. Here is the secret of the unison. But as for me refers to King David, namely Malchut that is called I. It is the place that is called redemption, which is Malchut when joined with Yesod. My prayer refers to prayer, namely plain Malchut. Hear that he says me my prayer. The Amidah prayer is adjacent to redemption, for they are one, for they are both the aspect of Malchut. When one brings together redemption to the Amidah prayer, then it is a time of goodwill. A time of goodwill is also one inclusion together. Time is one, namely Malchut, and favor is one, for it is a secret of the favor that becomes revealed from Keter. And they are combined together to become one. King David wanted to form one unity through this verse, as we have said. The verse is a little bit esoteric. It's talking about the Amidah prayer, the standing prayer, the prayer of 18 or 19 blessings. It's said three times a day. And there are many deep, deep secrets and kavanah unifications to take place when saying this prayer. And this is just one verse that's starting to hint at some of those unifications. Does anybody have any questions before we continue the discussion of the tool of the calendar?
I have a question you said earlier about one of those.
when the Leo person is not doing the spiritual work that they came to do, they're going to show the world this consciousness of Choten. Choten means hot. The sun can burn. The Leo is burning the people up around them because they know what's best for those people. They see it. It's the tool they've been given as a Leo, as the king. You know, Leo's king of the lions, as this impressive person, personality.
King of the jungle.
King of the jungle, all of this. But when they tell people this is what you should be doing, or you don't do it that way, do it this way, out of control, they're telling people, this is what I want you to do. You're subservient to me. And the people aren't ready to hear that. They don't like the tone. They don't like the demeanor. And in fact, you burn them up. They move away from you, and that's a form of ostracism. Any other questions? Okay, we're continuing from last week's class, where we were starting to talk in more detail about the tool of the calendar and how the calendar is, the Hebrew calendar is really the only one of the three major calendars that is describing the energy in the universe. And by learning the calendar and using the calendar and observing your days by the calendar, you become aware of that energy much more so. Just as you become aware of the weekly energy through the hearing of the Torah and receiving protection shield from that, the knowledge of the calendar itself and the energy of the period and of the astrology gives you information that you can utilize in your life for protection and for enhancement. So last class we got together and we had reached a point where we had gone through Hanukkah, through Kislev. But I think I want to start back and just go over again, starting at the month of Tishrei. Now, in Tishrei we have the 22 days of holiday that go from Rosh Hashanah to the Simchat Torah holiday. Literally, it's not perceived as 22 days of holiday, but it literally is. The days that are not complete holidays are partial holidays. And so the energy level of the world elevates. The world on Shabbat, the physical world elevates to the spiritual world. On holidays, the spiritual world is drawn down to the physical world. And on the days that are not considered full holidays, the spiritual world rises, but not completely. There's still some partial unification. But this period is very important because it is the first Sunday of your year is in this period. The first Monday is in your period. The first Tuesday, each day of the week is in this period. And whatever actions you do on that day are going to reverberate throughout those same days of the week for the rest of the year, the next 52 weeks. So if you are doing additional study, if you are doing good deeds, if you are sharing with people, that is going to impact those days every week of the year. So if you did it on Sunday, then come Sunday of each week, the energy of that month might be negative. The energy of that month might be difficult. But because you did additional work on the first Sunday, that is going to minimize that negative part. It's going to make it easier. In other months where it's more positive, those Sundays, because you did the positive things, it's going to enhance the goodness of that month.
So
And it's highly recommended that those 7 days you make extra efforts to study more Torah. Go read the Bible. Scan more Zohar. Make connection. Do some sharing. Give tzedakah. Make a contribution to somebody.
What are the days? It starts the 28th of September.
It starts the 28th of September, so it's the 31st of September through whatever.
30.
No, 30. It's 30. So the 1st of October to the 6th of October, or the 7th of October,
Sunday.
The 7 days.
Sunday.
I'm not sure what day. And it's not always, you know, it doesn't run Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because the first day might be Wednesday. But over the 7 days, you're going to go through the cycle of the week. Every day is going to be represented. And during that week, make extra effort to study, to give charity, to do good deeds, do more spiritual actions. And that will have impact throughout your year. Now the...
When does that first day start of that week?
Well, Rosh Hashanah starts the 28th of September. So 28th and 29th are the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Then the next day is the 1st of October is the first day of these 7 days. They're the 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now that first day, which is the 3rd of Tishrei, is a fast day, a daylight fast day, not a night fast. But it starts at sunrise and goes to sunset. And that's a very, very little known and rarely kept fast. But it's very much a very real fast because it brings home the concept of the horror of hatred for no reason, because it's called the Fast of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was the king appointed by Nebuchadnezzar over the land of Judah that he had conquered and destroyed the temple, the first temple. Gedaliah was appointed king, and the people, the sages, didn't know what to do because they'd never had a king that wasn't approved by God, and now Nebuchadnezzar gives them this king. So do they follow him or do they not follow him? And some of the sages, some of the prophets were saying, yes, we follow him, because the nature of exile means you follow the land, the law of the land. And the others were saying, no, we're not going to put up with it. We're going to rebel again, and we're going to win, because God will be with us. And somebody in that camp caused Gedaliah to be assassinated. A Jew killing a Jew, and that's considered hatred for no reason.
Well, October 2nd is a Sunday, so that's when it starts.
No. Rosh Hashanah is
on the 28th.
The 28th.
Okay, well, could you talk about October 1st.
That's the night of the 28th, so it's the 29th and 30th. Yes, so October 1st is a Sunday.
No, October
2nd. Okay, well, then the 28th is the night. The 29th is Rosh Hashanah Day 1. The 30th is Rosh Hashanah Day 2. The Fast of the Gedaliah would be on the 1st of October, whatever day that is. If that's a Saturday.
The 7 days start from 9:29, is that it?
So the seventh, it starts on the evening of 9:30. Now, whatever day that works, it sounds like it's going to be a Saturday. So it's what it means is every Saturday, whatever work you do that Saturday, whatever spiritual effort you do that Saturday, is going to impact every Saturday of your year. By the same token, if you get angry, if you allow somebody to upset you, that's going to impact every Saturday of that year as well. So it's very important that during this week you not get upset. You not allow yourself to be reactive.
Sunday is October 2nd. October 1st is a Saturday.
So it's Friday night. It's Sunday.
I thought it started with Sunday, so it starts Friday.
Starts Friday night. Specify the night. Because we start, days start with sundown. So Friday night. So Shabbat is the first day of these 7 days. That's the Saturday. And then from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then the following Saturday will be Yom Kippur. Now the next month is Mar Cheshvan, Bitter Cheshvan, the month that the flood started. But there are certain people who left the world on the 11th of Cheshvan, and they provide us a channel to connect to the positivity in a month that's very difficult. The month of Scorpio, which is the month of Cheshvan, is a very difficult month. People are going into crisis all the time. They're overwhelmed with their feelings. Yes, same idea. The next month, which we went over, was Kislev, which is the month of miracles. All of the miracles manifest. Well, they don't manifest, but they potentially are given to you during Hanukkah.
Late November, early December?
Yes, generally. The month after that is Capricorn. Capricorn has no holidays except it has all of the energy of Hanukkah because the last 2 days are in Capricorn, in Gedi, in the Tibet. And so knowing that, it's also, that's the time when a lot of illnesses are going around. So the end of the winter, the deepest part of the winter, and it's very difficult for people. And it takes a great amount of restriction. The next month is Shvat. And we have the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which is the new year of the trees. On the 15th of Shvat, the flow of the sap starts anew. You know how trees have rings that we can tell their age, how many years they've been around, comes from the sap flowing. As the sap starts to flow, it's showing a renewal of the tree in the spring.
Late January or early February.
This is the month of Shvat. It's the month of the Aquarius. That energy of that period tends to be spiritual. And so people get very frightened. When I say it tends to be spiritual, that's when you're going to see more psychic interactions. You're going to be more intuitive that month because that's the energy of the Aquarian. Aquarian has no feet on the ground. They're flying all the time. And that's the energy that impacts people. Now, it impacts people differently. If you're an earth sign, you know, you're not going to go flying around, but your consciousness is going to be elevated a bit.
The fire signs, burn everything up.
We burn everything up because the fire is there. And that's a month that fire signs will find difficult.
So we consume all the oxygen, and that's why we drain everybody's energy.
Exactly. Exactly. And it takes restriction to stay balanced. The next month is the month of Adar.
Adar.
The month of Adar is the last month of the year. The month of Adar is the
February, early March.
Yes. The month of Adar is the month of Pisces, the month of without ego. and everybody is kind of going to just be floating along in the water, because Adar is a water month. And it's good. What we say in Adar is when the first of Adar comes in, joy increases. And we have the holiday of Purim, which is a very wonderful holiday. And but on the negative side, and every month has a positive and a negative, on the negative side of Adar is there's no ego. So you're seeing the world through glasses that are not real. So it's difficult in the month. But
I thought it was good to be without ego.
It is good to be without ego, but it's not real to be without ego. We were created as a desire to receive, and we have to remember, yes, it's good to be without ego, but are you without ego for a spiritual reason, or is it just a reaction to the energy of the month?
So the last part of that is negative, you
spend
the last part of that month, more negative energy?
No, the last part of every month is more negative than the first part of a month. The positive, as the moon wanes, the negativity is going to grow. As the moon waxes, it's a more positive aspect of whatever month you're in. And this is the cycle of the moon waxing and waning. But the height of the energy is always on the 15th, always on the full moon.
Well, I was just wondering, because March is always in the most really powerful things that happen. Like, this last March, when I got laid off, or, you know, other intense, it's usually negative. Usually right around St. Patrick's Day, which I know it has nothing to do with St. Patrick's Day, but it's right around mid-March. And that's when, or maybe a couple of days.
But that's the energy. Nobody got laid off, nobody was in town directing at you, we just had to do it.
Yeah, the only other time I've ever been laid off.
But it's not true.
We were laid off on day. But, but it's like I'm trying to figure out the energy of the month. You know.
The energy of the month is water. It's plastic. It's fish. What a fish. They're cold. Fish are not warm.
Yeah.
But they're living in warmth. They're living in water, which is chesed, which is warm. So there's this dichotomy, and that's the nature of the Pisces people. It's the nature of...
More business-like.
And more psychic. You'll have more psychic experiences that month. So the next month is Nisan. And Nisan is the first month of the year.
N-I-S-S-A-N.
As in the car. And why you want to know why that company is doing well and why they had problems when they did, it's all related to its name.
Huh.
But the energy of Nisan is the energy of war.
This is the first part of the year, right?
It's the first month of the year, and it's basically the end of March and the first part of April.
Oh, thank you.
So it's controlled by Mars, but it's also the energy of freedom, because what is the war you fight? You fight a war against your desire to receive for oneself alone. If you're doing that, you're going to achieve freedom. But there are a lot of rituals in that month associated with the Exodus. The one thing to keep in mind, on my website, those first 14 days of Nisan, there are additional rituals that will assist you throughout the year. By making them doing the work during those 14 days of Nisan, during this time of war and this time of freedom, doing these spiritual actions will assist you throughout your year. The next month is the month of Iyar, the month of Taurus. I-Y-A-R. Now, the month of Iyar is a month of Ziv, the month of light. It's also a month of healing. Iyar, the nature of the people, of Taurus people, is they're passive. Everything is wonderful. Everything is good. Everything is great. The house is burning down, but I'm good. And that controlling is part of the nature of the reason they're controlling is there's so much light.
They like everything. They don't like change.
They like their homes. They like their homes.
Earthbound.
Yes. And that's the month of Taurus, and that's what you're going to experience. But it's also a very negative month because there's a 3-month period or a 50-day period from the 15th of Nisan until the 6th of Sivan that is called the period of the Omer. And it's so negative that we will not do marriages. We will not. It's recommended you not start new things. It's recommended you not get your hair cut.
So it's recommended not to get married in late April or early
May. Right. Or late April through the middle of June.
Oh, really? Because June's such a popular month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the month. You
yeah.
know,
but that's because they don't get married in the previous ones. That comes from tradition of following this Jewish calendar.
What about, like, going into a new contract or anything like that?
Yeah, nothing. Don't sign anything
yeah.
new is
yeah,
what it's recommended. Right. You know, if you have to move, your lease runs out in that period, extend the lease through the period so you don't move during it. That if you have to move, there are certain days that I can tell you, call me and we'll talk about what's the best days and how to deal with it. But they're all negative days. They're all days that you should keep your head down and keep doing restriction and not start new things. Okay. Now, Sivan, which is the next month, is a very start of a very positive period. S-I-V-A-N. Sivan is the Tumim. Is the twins, the Gemini. And it's a period where things have calmed down from the war in Nisan and the crazy negativity in the ER. So it's calmed down, but it doesn't mean it's calmed down. It means it's time to reflect. It's time to do your spiritual work in this period of calmness that is the month of Sivan and the first part of Tammuz, which is the period of Cancer. Now, the month of Tammuz, you need to be happy. Recommended that you be happy. They cut your arm off, be happy. Why? Because Chas v'Shalom. Whatever happens in Tammuz, be happy. Because if you're not happy, if you fall to depression in Tammuz, that's when the month, the disease of Cancer will start. It isn't that it'll hurt you right away. It could take 20 years for the tumor to grow to be noticeable. But that tumor started in the month of Tammuz when you fell to being depressed. So be happy, whatever happens. And that brings us back to Leo, which is what we started last week. We have periods that go across the months, but primarily the energy of the month is complete within itself. There are 12 months, just as there are 12 astrological signs. Those 12 months are methods or aspects of cleansing. You can complete your tikkun in 1 year if you allow yourself to be cleansed of all of the things that you need to be cleansed of for each month. Over the course of a year, those 12 levels of cleansing will bring you to a level of completion of your correction. Almost nobody achieves it in 1 year. That's why they gave us 120 years, and now they're giving us 190 years, and soon they'll be giving us 300 years, and ultimately Mashiach will come, and we will have 1,000 years of peace. But we're being given the time to do our work, so hopefully we will. By using the tools, by connecting to the Zohar, which is an ark, a protection shield throughout the months, by hearing the Torah, by saying the Anah B'Koach, by scanning the 72 names, by giving tzedakah and truma, tithing, by understanding what is reincarnation, which is what we'll talk about next week, and using the tool of the calendar to know what is the energy of this week, this day, this month, and how does it impact me, and how can I avoid the negative impacts. This is the tool that you will find absolutely amazing when you start to use it. Are there any questions?
What does Leo represent for that? Is it the fire and the burning of the whatever?
Well,
but that's the most negative month I know. That's like
you heard me on the Rosh Chodesh, Leo.
The three weeks
are in that period, but there's also the period after that. It's a positive. Leo itself has a duality. The letter Tet that created the month of Leo also created the sexual organs. Now, why did God create the penis so that it would bring the sperm, which is the highest level of the revelation of light? It brings a child. And at the same orifice comes out waste. This is a complete duality. This is the energy of the Leo. Say it again. The energy is destructive, negative. The energy in the balance of the days is positive. But it's only positive if you're doing restriction. Otherwise, it's going to continue to overcome you with its heat. But if you become a servant of the light, you start to do your spiritual work. We are in the 7-week period leading up to Rosh Hashanah. They're called the 7 weeks of comfort. These are the weeks where the energy will be passive. The energy of the universe is going to bring people into your life that you haven't seen in years. And every one of those people will call you. You'll think about them. You'll make a connection to them. All these people that you haven't thought about for years, these people are coming into your life to give you an opportunity to do tshuva. This is the time when when God is in the garden, is the metaphor. When he's working in his office, using this metaphor, when God's in his office, to make an appointment to talk to God, you got to go through the secretary who's going to go to the first assistant, who's going to go to the fifth assistant, who's going to say, no, we can't do it today, we'll do it in 6 weeks. You have all these blockages to get to God. But during this period, God is in the field. God is standing there waiting for you to come talk to him. He's just waiting for you. Go talk to him. Speak to him about what you did wrong and how you can change it. Speak to him about what you want for next year. Speak to him. He's waiting for you. That's what this period is about, these weeks of comfort. And right now, we are in the second week of those weeks. Last Shabbat, we read Vayechanan. The first one is called the Haftorah, when comfort, comfort. And it's bringing that first level of tshuva. You have to start your list. Who did you hurt? How did you deal with it? But this is the energy of the second part of Leo. It can be comfort if you're doing your spiritual work. If not, it's going to be hot. It's going to be very hot. It's going to burn you to wake you up to start to do your work. And then the balance of it in the month of Elul is the month of the Virgo, the month of the details, of the judgments. Everything in the Virgo, you're going to see details. You're never going to see a big picture. It's always going to be details, because you need that assistance of looking at details when you do tshuva. You have to remember as much as you can about those negative actions. And the month of Elul is going to help you do that, because that's the nature of the energy of judgment. It's controlled by Mercury. Controlled by the Virgin. What does the Virgin represent? It represents purity, being open with God, being honest with God. I screwed up. I did these negative things. I've asked the person for forgiveness. Now I'm asking you for forgiveness. This is tshuva. This is the steps we need to take.
So the one that's late August, early September, what's that?
Elul.
A-L.
E-E-L-U-L.
And this...
We've got that annihilated in Melchior Lunch.
And this one I don't remember at all. Like, is this a more positive month?
Mm-hmm. It's considered a more positive month if you're doing your spiritual work.
Into September.
And then you get to the moment of judgment, which are the 22 days of Tishrei. That moment of judgment is, here's what you did last year. Here's what you get for this year. And you now have 22 days of birth to maturity. From your moment of reception of the energy of the year, on Rosh Hashanah, the first days of the year, until the holiday of Simchat Torah, you become an adult. It takes you 22 days. Can't be done any faster. Just like there was a 3-week period of negativity, there's the 3-week period of Tishrei, which is also, it's a positive period, but it's based on judgment. You're going to receive what you've learned. You're going to have the effect of last year's energy. What did you do with what you received from God last year? Who did you hurt? Who did you make up with? That's why during Elul, you're going to get these calls from out of left field. Somebody you haven't seen in 10 or 20 years. Oh, how are you? Telling you, hey, I have a boon with this person. I have a correction with this person. I need to think back. What did I do with this person?
I got the mineral
that he needed. Yeah, he lost contact in the last year, and now he's calling out of the blue. Well, it's not out of the blue. It's part of the 7 weeks of correction. 7 weeks of comfort.
I think he's totally
fine. From his part and from your part, too.
Yesterday was that 15th memory.
Yes.
Roughly.
Are there any other questions? Bernice, you can just speak out. You don't have to do star 6.
Oh. I can't think of anything this minute. But
okay.
I did have I did have a thought, and I'm not sure how to express it, but if everything was written for us before we came here, then what? Why are we going through all of this? If it was already written, we didn't actually do this because that script was written for us. So we weren't really doing it. We were just doing what was written. So I don't understand why. I'm not sure if I'm putting this out there correctly, but I do have an inquiry as to
what you're asking.
If the script was already written, then we really haven't done anything other than what the script told us to do. And if the script told us to do these things, then why are we held responsible for doing these things? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand your question.
Mm-hmm.
Your question is, if the script is written, if the movie you're in is playing out, why are you being punished? Because you didn't do anything.
That's right.
Except for one thing.
What?
The movie that you're playing out is based on the actions you did in last lifetime. And last lifetime may have been a movie, but there was a lifetime before that. There, all of these effects called our life, everything in our life is an effect of our actions. What you do comes back to you. You do positive, it comes back positive. You do negative, it comes back negative. Everything is a function of what you did, and it becomes an effect. Now, you can change the effect. You can change the movie. That's called restriction. But everything that's happened in your life that is written as part of the movie that's playing out still is somebody doing their work. It's the effect of what they did in a previous lifetime. And if you choose to do restriction and not be reactive to what you experience in the movie, you change movies. And you change the effect. Because you're no longer the same person. You look like Bernice, you talk like Bernice, but you're not the same Bernice that it was in that movie yesterday.
You know, one thing I've noticed, my own experience.
So by not reacting,
hold on a second, Bernice.
You are restricting? Yes.
Hold on.
It's identical to when I was talking about my experience with Salt Lake last year. I moved to Salt Lake, like, in mid-April last year, and, like, couldn't get out of it fast enough. I mean, it just wasn't for me. And I'm experiencing the same thing. I moved to Salt Lake and felt like I made a mistake. It's the same thing, but it's on a milder, lower scale, you know, but it's the same thing, same kind of
thing. Same pattern. Same pattern.
Yeah.
You're still the same person. You haven't done.
Well, it's a little better.
You haven't let go of all of these things that we'll start to talk about.
So it is the time period. And
it's all related.
Because I always tend to move. Well, I did move in April, which is a little bit. And that's a bad time to be moving, too. Yeah, I forgot that.
Exactly.
I move in the autumn.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I need to start recognizing these patterns.
When I first started to study Kabbalah, there was a guy I met, an Israeli man, who, he was mentoring, so he would explain things, help us understand what the concepts were. And he was explaining how he didn't listen. You know, he knew, he grew up as a religious guy. He knew about the 3 weeks that we just came out of. And he has a business. What does he do? He's moving the business to brand new quarters. What day does he move? The 9th of Av, the worst day of the year. He knows about the 3 weeks. He was studying Kabbalah, but he didn't use the tool. He didn't make the note of it. He didn't make it into his consciousness. And for 5 years, he'd been struggling because the Satan is pulling him back. That whole business, he moved, and everything became difficult. He was still successful, but it wasn't the same kind of success he was having before. He was having things difficult. And finally, he realized, hey, I moved on the 9th of Av. How crazy is that? So what did he do? An absolute crazy idea. He moved everything out of the building again, onto trucks, and then back into the building. But not on the 9th of Av, on a positive day. 3 years later, he sold his business for $20 or $30 million.
So when is the best time?
The best time to move is during the 7 weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah.
So it's autumn, what is that, late September?
Yeah.
Mid-September, late September.
End of August, all of September.
Yeah.
Now, Bernice, you had a question?
Yeah, I follow up
on what I said.
I forgot what it was now. simply restriction is not reacting the next time that sort of thing might come up. That is a restriction to clear that particular event or whatever in your life?
Yes. If you do restriction at some event.
But what happens if you do restriction and you still don't seem to be rid of it?
You haven't done restriction. You just think you have.
Huh. Think you have. Okay.
Restriction is a lifetime learning. So what you think is restriction isn't really restriction.
Mm.
But you're not understanding what you're restricting about. You're not understanding what your reaction is. You've not delved into why are you reacting the way you're reacting. You've just stopped your restriction. You've just stopped your reaction. But you haven't really changed yourself. And so it's going to, the universe is going to keep throwing that same pattern at you until you realize it's time to change. Restriction means you become a different you. Restriction means you are not yourself. You are a better person today than you were yesterday. You have the same name. You look the same to everybody else, but you're not the same person. That's what restriction means.
And what about when you go down to the water and you supposedly wash everything away? Does that not do that?
Yeah, you will never see that pattern, that difficulty again in your life.
I've done that too. So that's why I'm confused about some of these things, because is that supposed to wash away the memory of it as well, or do you still occasionally have a memory of it?
You'll occasionally have a memory of it.
You will.
because the concept called the dust of the incident.
I see.
So yeah. it means that you cleanse the majority of it, but there's still little pieces of dust left around the house that have to be cleaned up.
Mm.
It's like, let's suppose that I'm guilty of murder in a lifetime.
Mm.
And I've done tshuva, and I've cleansed that murder.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I have reached a point where the only murder that I'm dealing with, the only time I hear about murder, is when I read about it in the paper. Why am I reading about it in the paper? Because I still have the dust of murder that I have to cleanse. So every time I read about it in the paper and I feel the pain again of murdering someone, someone being murdered,
mm-hmm.
that's cleaning up the dust of the incident.
Every time you read about it, it's cleaning up the dust?
If I feel the pain of the person being murdered. But a lot of times people read about it and they're joyful. People read about it and they don't really feel the pain of the people. They read about it and, oh, how horrible, and it's time for me to be afraid again. That's not cleaning up the dust. It just means you're going to read about it again and again.
Oh, I see.
Until you learn to stop your reaction.
A reaction. Okay, like that, get that firmed up in my mind.
Yes.
Okay.
So, on announcements, we have a class tonight at 5 on the Zohar, and at 10 on Rabbi Brandwein's letters to Rabbi Berg. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we have a class at 5 o'clock on the Zohar, at 7 o'clock on 10 luminous emanations, and at 10 o'clock on Rabbi Ashlag's essays. On Thursday night at 5 o'clock and at 10 o'clock, we have classes on the Zohar. Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we have a class on the Aleph Bet. And on Monday at 5, we have Zohar. And at 7, we have the Sefer Yetzirah. So feel free to join us on any of the classes as you feel appropriate. Any questions before we say goodbye? Have a beautiful day.
You too.